We continue our learning. We are in Yevamos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel. Now, in the previous Mishnayos, we learned that a person can't perform Yibum with his Erva's Sarah, his Erva's co-wife. So we had the case where Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Shimon has a daughter, Rachel. Reuven was married to Rachel, to his niece, which is permitted, according to Halacha. Reuven's married to his niece, to Rachel, Shimon's daughter, as well as Chana, another woman. Those Chana and Rachel are Tzaros. And Reuven passes away. So we said the same way Shimon can't marry, obviously, his daughter, can't perform Yibam on his daughter, so he's also exempt from Yibam. There's no Yibam or Chalitza on the Tzara on Chana. And therefore, Chana is free to marry someone else after Reuven passes away without Yibam or Chalitza from Shimon. So that's all true because these women are, this woman, let's say, is an erva to Shimon. Obviously, she was not an erva to Reuven. But let's say you have a woman who is an erva both to Reuven and Shimon because they're brothers. Let's say it's their mother or something like that. So here you have a case where, obviously, there would be no situation where Reuven would be married to Shimon's mother if it's Reuven's mother, or any other erva for that matter, that would be an erva both to Shimon and Reuven. The case we were able to discuss in the previous Mishnayos was because this woman was an erva to Shimon, who's the surviving brother, what was not an erva to Reuven. That's how Reuven could marry her. But let's say you have a case where there's an erva to both. So Reuven never would have been married to an erva at all. Obviously, there's no marriage to an erva. So the only scenario we could have where someone, a woman, is an erva to both Reuven and Shimon is where a random person is married to that erva. So if, let's say, Baruch is married to Shimon's mother, so you could say, even though it's not, doesn't have to be related, doesn't have to be his father necessarily, so that person would be an erva both to Reuven and Shimon, and obviously Baruch is allowed to be married to that person. And now, let's say Baruch is married to that erva and married to another woman. Let's say that, and that other woman is the tzara. So now Baruch, this random person, passes away. There are two almanos. There's one who's an erva to Shimon, and one who happens to be an erva to Reuven too, and one who's a tzara. So we would not say that, oh, Shimon can't marry the tzara because he can't marry his erva. That erva is not a yibum case. And in a case of yibum where the brother was allowed to marry that erva, and that erva is only an erva to Shimon, then we have this halacha of the tzara is exempt. You don't marry the erva. But in a random case where someone's married to two women, and one of those, and now that person passed away and leaves those two almanos, you're not going to say that Shimon, who comes along, there's no yibum here, just marriage. The Shimon comes along, oh, you're not going to say, well, he can't marry any of them, you know, because one of those wives is an erva. We don't say that. That's only halacha when it comes to yibum, and that's what the Mishnah is teaching us here. Sheish arayos chamuros me'elu. There are six arayos which are more strict than the 15 women that we listed in the first Mishnah. Mivnei shenu suos la'acher. Because as opposed to the case of the other Mishnah where the daughter of Shimon was Reuven's niece who could be married to Reuven, and Yibum therefore could not be performed, and therefore you potter not only that woman but also the tzara as well. Shimon doesn't perform Yibum Chalitz at all. These women are Mipnei Shenisuos Lachem, are married to a random person, to someone else who's not the brother, because obviously they're arayos to both Reuven and Shimon, and therefore tzara say and mutaros, and therefore the tzara, the co-wife of this erva, is mutar to marry Shimon. Let's say if Shimon wants to marry Baruch, has two almanos, and one is an erva, he can marry the other one, he can marry the chana, and that's not a problem at all. And the Mishnah lists who these people are. In all of these cases, these are women who would be arayos both to Shimon and to Reuven, and therefore Reuven never could have been married to these women. Who are they? Ima, a man's mother, and that's true even if she's not married to the father. Let's say you had Shimon was born out of wedlock. So although the mother is not the mother of his brother, it's true It's not the mother of Reuven, but his brother still can't marry her. Why? Because she was living with the father. And the Mishnah here is Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, which we'll learn in the 11th Perek, who does not allow a man to marry a woman with whom his father lived with, even though they were not married. So that's the first one on the list is Imo, the Eshes Aviv, and his father's former wife. And that would be true even if she was not his mother. A man can't marry his father's former wife. And since Yibam, by the way, applies only to brothers who have the same father, so she is forbidden not only to this person, to Shimon, she would be also to Reuven as well. And number three, Va'achos Aviv, his father's sister. Man can't marry his father's sister, and that would be usher for both of them. Achos Omei Aviv, his half-sister from his father's side, since she is his sister on the father's side, she's obviously the sister of his brother from the father's side, so she would be usher both to Shimon and Reuven. Then number five, Ve'eshes Achi Aviv, this is number five, his father's brother's former wife. That's an erva as well. It's to both. Again, Eshes Achi Aviv, his father's brother's former wife and aunt. The Eshes Achiv Me'aviv, and the former wife of his half-brother from his father's side. And that's when that marriage ended in a way that did not create a case of Yibam. Since she was married to his brother from the father's side, she is considered erva to all the brothers on the father's side. In all of these cases, if the unmarried woman married someone, let's say in some of the cases, or the woman who was once married to one of the relatives, as we in some of the cases we said here, married someone else, and that husband died, the woman now has a co-wife as well. It's that woman and a co-wife and a tzara. He can marry the tzara. That's not a problem. Okay, now we are in Perek Aleph Mishnah Dalet. Beishamai matirin hatzaros la'achim. Now we mentioned that you can't perform Yibam with your erva's tzara, with the erva's co-wife. That was only Beis Hillel's opinion. Beishamai are matirin hatzaros la'achim. Beishamai permit the co-wives of an erva to the brothers. They allow Shimon, let's say, to perform Yibam with Chana, even though the co-wife was an erva, is his daughter Rachel. So when Reuven passes away, according to Beis Shammai, Shimon would perform Yibam or Chalitza with Chana, with the co-wife. So Vesilosim, and we know Vesil is the one who do not allow the co-wife, do not allow Shimon to marry Chana. Now, Chaltzu, so we're going to the nafkaminas, the practical applications of this machlokas. Chol, very important ones. Chaltzu, let's say one of the tsaros, one of the co-wives of the erva, perform chalitza with the living brother. So according to Beis Shammai, they're supposed to. You didn't do Yibum, but let's say take our case of Chana. So let's say Shimon performs Chalitza to free, as Beis Shammai would expect them to do either Yibum or Chalitza. Shimon performs Chalitza for Chana. Beis Shammai postlin menakuna. Beis Shammai consider that a real Chalitza. And therefore, we consider a Chalitza like a Gerusha. That's a Din d'Rabbanan, that Chalitza is very similar. So a Chalitza is also to marry a Kohen. So according to Beis Shammai, since it was a real, this was a real chalitza, so then this woman, Chana, cannot marry a Kohen, because she's a chalitza. Vesil machshin, Vesil would allow Chana to marry. Shimon performed chalitza to Chana, it's a meaningless chalitza, because there is no din for chalitza, because that tzara is exempt from chalitza and Yibam, because the other tzara is Shimon's daughter, and based on the pasuk litzror, Beis Shammai once again does not darshan the pasuk litzror, and therefore tzaros are mutter. But according to Beis Hillel, no, Litzror teaches me that tzaros are usher, just like the erva. So that's one nafkamina, is the din of chalitza. Nisyabmu, let's say the following. Let's say the co-wives had Yibam performed. So Shimon performed Yibam. And now Shimon died. Now Shimon died after performing Yibam with with this woman, with Chana. So Beisham HaMachshirim, Beisham I say she can marry a Kohen because that was the permitted Yibam. Uvesil Poslim, Beisil said no, she can't marry a Kohen. Why? Since the Yibam was not allowed, and a woman who lives with a man who she's not forbidden to becomes his owner, so that she's ushered to a Kohen. So that's a problem. So obviously you have a case where the Kohen from Beisham may be considered, might be concerned about marrying women from the families of Beis Hillel and vice versa, since there were women that, according to one academy, one school, were considered permitted to Kohanim, and the other thought were forbidden. And the same thing there were women from each side that even a non-Kohen was not permitted to marry. So let's say, for example, according to Beis Shammai, if you have a Tzara of an Erva, Tzara of an Erva was not allowed. If a co-wife, right, according to Beis Shammai, a co-wife and Erev was not allowed to marry anyone without performing chalitza with Shimon, right? So Chana couldn't marry anyone else. Whereas according to Beis Hillel, she was allowed to marry it. So on the other hand, according to Beis Shammai, a man is allowed to perform Yibum with his Erev's co-wife. You're allowed to perform Yibum. A Shimon is allowed to perform Yibum with Chana. But according to Beis Hillel, the Erev's co-wife, that's no. What do you mean? She's actually considered an Erev. And a child that came from that union would be considered a mamzer. So that's a big problem. So you would think that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, they would stay very far away from one another. And that's when the Mishnah comes to just know. Even though Beis Hillel forbid the co-wife to the brother, Chana can't marry Shimon. And Beis Shammai, Velu Matrin, they permit it. So you right each so families on each side had women that its own side allowed or permitted, but the other considered forbidden. So elu poslin elu machshirin, and even though one side would disqualify certain women from marrying kohanim, the other side would consider them eligible to marry kohanim. Lo nimnu Beis Shammai. They didn't refrain from marrying women from either side, from either of the families. And then the Mishnah concludes, not only that, but kolataros vahatumos shahayu elu mitarin ve'elu mitamin lo nimneu osin taharos elu agaba elu. Another case where this was true, despite all the Torah items and tummy items on one side, of the one academy considered was Torah, the other considered tummy. They had different opinions regarding Tumah Vatara. They didn't refrain from preparing Torah foods on Kalim that they barred from each other, because each one would make sure to inform the other one regarding the utensils that they barred, whether they considered them Tameh or not. And the same thing would be true when it came to marrying women. They would always tell each other about the women on the other side, whether they forbid it or not, and then they could choose to marry them or not. This way they would be transparent with the information, and therefore people could make their own decision based on their own personal halacha.